Welcome to the intersection of technology, cybersecurity, and society. Welcome to ITSB Magazine. Let's face it, the future is now. We're living in a connected cyber society, and we need to stop ignoring it or pretending that it's not affecting us. Join us as we explore how humanity arrived at this current state of digital reality and what it means to live amongst so much technology and data. Knowledge is power, now more than ever.
Black Cloak provides concierge cybersecurity protection to corporate executives and high net worth individuals to protect against hacking, reputational loss, financial loss, and the impact of a corporate data breach. Learn more at blackcloak.io. RSA Security offers business-driven security solutions that provide organizations with a unified approach to managing digital risk that hinges on integrated visibility, automated insights, and coordinated actions. Learn more at rsa.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to ITSB Magazine. This is the channel redefining society. As you know, we redefine about everything here. That's our mission lately, from technology to cybersecurity, education, and of course, they all interconnect. And today we're talking about something that has been around us for a very long time, music, and how technology has become part of it, and how in particular, blockchain has become part of the equation. And to do that, we have a great guest today, Josh Katz. He has been in the music industry for quite a while. And then he took technology and he brought it to the next level. That's my understanding, but he's going to tell us more about it. So Josh, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Great to be here, Marco.
Perfect. So little background about yourself and what have you ventured into lately? And
sure.
Then we'll talk about wherever you left from there.
So I was in the music business, traditional recorded music business, working at record labels in New York through the mid-90s into the mid-2000s. I left the music business in 2004. And started a company called EL Media Group. EL Media Group grew out to be the number one background subscription music provider for businesses, where we, you know, displaced what traditionally was known as Muzak for subscription services for restaurants like Nobu and Tao and, you know, airlines, you know, terminals and pools and hotel lobbies and places like that. And, you know, I grew that business by basically building our own tech and doing everything do it yourself. We also had a pretty big systems business where we were building lots of technology and designing it and installing it for restaurants, hotels, all types of other hospitality groups, nightlife as well. And in, you know, I had always really encouraged the hustle in our New York office. We had office in New York, office in Miami. And in the New York office, it was an epicenter of DJ culture at the time, you know, and through a lot of the period where, you know, that company thrived, EDM was pretty, you know, substantial and had become a prominent, you know, music at that point. And, you know, a lot of our programming really set the tone of how you dine at Nobu and the journey you take at Tao when you walked in the door, what it would sound like there at lunch and at dinner and all of that. So it was a cool company. And through that culture, crypto came in. And when crypto entered my world, I kind of, you know, as everyone who's, you know, got hooked real quick. And, you know, in 17, I had sold that company, actually in 16, but in 17, we closed. And at that point, I went all in really on the whole crypto blockchain space and looked how I could apply it to my world. And in doing that, I looked at music. And in music, there were a lot of applications for blockchain and the use for programmable contracts. But one thing in particular really jumped out at me as a perfect 1.0 use case. And that 1.0 use case was live event ticketing, where live event ticketing is rampant with fraud, counterfeiting, a middleman population we call scalpers. Scalpers in the U.S. accounted for, in 2019, $11.5 billion in revenue that was taken from fans and not given to artists or teams. So a huge industry that has grown out of the lack of good technology and the lack of policing over product. I mean, I couldn't really see, I see other industries that have rampant middlemen, but an industry that's allowed another industry to blossom and become that big just because of deficient technology, I have yet to find many others. So it seemed like a great use case. So I went forward, and in 17, I began hosting, you know, various meetups, including the New York Ethereum meetup, and was working with a bunch of different, you know, developers and other people on in the blockchain space. And I basically began the ticketing algorithm, and my company Yellowheart was born to eliminate ticket scalping, or not eliminate it, but redirect the excess revenue back to the stakeholders. And we went forward in 18. In 18, we got funded initially by Live Nation as seed money and Ticketmaster. And we built a system with Ticketmaster to basically have rule-based ticketing with smart contract deployment, you know, on various events and how those tickets could behave and how they could interact. And the actual tickets themselves are all NFTs. So you can imagine around scarcity and using venues around various abilities, you know, around scarcity and different you know, attributes on tickets, whether they're tradable or non-transferable, or they could live forever on a blockchain as a collectible, or various other things to do around, you know, time-stamped scarce events, because live events are scarce by nature. There's only so many seats to see Coldplay first row or even be in the venue itself. So it was a good fit. So anyway, we built this ticketing platform. We finished it at the end of 19 and went into beta in Q1 20, and COVID hit. And now we had just built what I'd call, you know, a commercial grade NFT mint, where we weren't looking to build, you know, 30 collectibles or do a one of one NFT minting, you know, like on a rarible or something. You know, we were looking to do 300,000 Coldplay tickets, all as NFTs, all with unique rules per section, per venue, deep tech, and then also sell them, you know, over blockchain, you know, decentralized with crypto and fiat over short time periods. So pretty high requirements, but we built it, and we unfortunately with COVID got tagged not as an NFT mint and wallet system, but as a live event company. So at that point we decided that we had incredible, you know, underlying technology and IP we had built, you know, already. So we also opened up a NFT music marketplace, which actually just opened up a week ago with the XXX Tentacion NFT drop. And now we have dual products and a wallet system that will hold both tickets and other NFT products.
Right. Let me stop you there for a second, because a lot of our audience is well versed into cryptocurrency and blockchain and NFT, but some may not be so much. So if the everyday person is going to listen to this, how would you explain in a short way what the NFT does to the ticketing process, to even the product that the artists do? And you can connect with art, because we know that right now there is the word, the buzz around, it's about everything. So what's the concrete application that somebody can make it tangible on an intangible thing, right? Like what's the key of the success and the need in our society for something like this?
Rule-based ticketing is the first application, which is the most obvious and important, but that's only usable in certain jurisdictions in the U.S. state by state. But the other thing is this eliminates fraud. It eliminates counterfeiting. So these systems allow for what I'd call autonomous, where all the stakeholders could agree on rules, meaning splits and business decisions. Once those contracts are memorialized, they're deployed on the blockchain, and nobody can do anything out of bounds, and everyone watches their money accrue in real time in fairness. So it creates full transparency and it eliminates the middleman. So, you know, for promoters, this is dangerous. So it's something where, you know, if you are a promoter, blockchain and NFT ticketing potentially might not be great for you. You might need to think about how you're going to position your business around this. I'm not saying it's going to put you out of business. I'm just saying it might change your business, because it opens up the doorway to so many things for the artist and fan interaction directly that have never existed before because of how robust the tech is.
So, for example, I was reading about artists that are starting to say, okay, this is the first digitally sold piece of music that I'm putting out there. I mean, technically, you can put that into a ticket.
And yeah, of course.
Ticket has that value. It can be a memorabilia from the concert or anything like that. So there is an entire opportunity there for new business revenue as well, right?
So yeah, but I think what's really important to understand is how this technology is going to change music.
Let's talk about that.
Yeah, let's get into that, because if you look at what it does, and I had just touched on this, you're talking about the deployment of smart contracts, which means that you're talking about the deployment of memorialized deals that nobody could cheat, nobody could change, nobody could do anything to. So once those are deployed, rights holders are paid directly, and their rights are forever memorialized until they sell them and transfer an ownership. There's direct monetization. And frankly, there's the ability to now go sell through a format called NFT, which gives you reoccurring revenue as a rights holder and as an artist. So this technology around blockchain is so game changing for content holders. And if you look back in history how various delivery systems have worked, whether it was the 8-track to the LP, to the cassette, to the CD, to the file sharing, to the digital download, to the streaming, these have all been delivery methods that in some way, shape, or form have enhanced the fan or the artist at that time. Eventually, though, they have all turned in some way, shape, or form, because of the advancement of society and people taking delivery of entertainment, to be nascent, whether it's sound quality, although we all know vinyl still sounds best, whether it's, CDs come out and they sound so much better in everyone's mind because they're the first digital music people are hearing. I'll never forget hearing Dark Side of the Moon on CD for the first time.
You just mentioned my favorite album, so
thank you. I mean, it blew my mind. Yep. Big speakers in my father's den, speakers that were like 4 feet tall. And then being like, wow, like file sharing. I don't have to pay 20. It got to a point of taking advantage for the record labels, and I worked at them at the time. It was one of the things that, frankly, was a pretty big turnoff to me. We're charging $24 for a CD, and you wanted one song, you had to pay $24. And it was a pretty big turnoff. So now all of a sudden, whoa, piracy will share everything. I got a whole library for free of every song. And then Apple's like, okay, you know what? We'll just charge you $1. And that works for a while. They make a lot of money. And then they're like, all right, now it's subscription, all you could eat, But it sounds like shit still, And I guess they're gonna bring lossless soon, which will be amazing. I'm excited for that. But at the end of the day, it's wore thin. It's been a long time. And NFT is the new format of music. And what it does is it allows rights holders to memorialize, and it allows for the delivery of both higher end content, because you could gate content to token holders now. And there's an array of other technologies that, we've built, and I know other people have worked on cool things too, that are going to enable blockchain music to just be so much better, because what it's going to enable is more creativity, more art, because art is at an all time high right now post COVID. Where everyone went home, they took out their guitars, they took out their CDJs, they took out their paintbrushes, they started baking, TikTok prevailed, everyone then suddenly is filming themselves dancing in their driveways, and like, there's more content than ever. So now people need a way to monetize that and let the better content kind of rise. And this is the way to do that. This is the delivery model. And the artificial thresholds, such as 1 million albums sold or 20 million streams, or like, these are awesome things and they still hold their place, but art is in the eye of the beholder and of the fan, and let them be the judge. And who are you to judge if someone just sold 3,000 units of something and they're making a living off of it, yet they kept 95% of the money now versus 5% of the money where they couldn't live before? So like, that's what NFTs are doing.
Yeah, it seems to me that it is empowering the artist, as you say. I'm not going to use the again, because I'm not sure the artist has ever been really empowered. I mean, if we walk down the history, the patrons before they pretty much owned the artist. And I'm talking about in both the Middle Age, the Renaissance, and so on. And then the music industry took over. So I feel like the artist never really been the real owner and the one that really was making the money. I mean, given, yeah, they make good money, no doubt about it, but they never really been in control. And I think like this put them in control of their own future, which is something I want to then talk towards the end of this. So what's, on your opinion, the next step as becoming something that is maybe widely accepted by society? Do you feel like there is going to be some obstacle, like cybersecurity, for example? I mean, we know blockchain is pretty solid, but we also know that cybercrime is always there trying to step in. And for example, technology, we know that is what caused a lot of the scalping online, where bots will get on the first 2 minutes of the release of a ticket of a concert, and then all of a sudden there is no more of those. So in a way, technology, it's amplified the problem and is now, let's say, trying to resolve the problem. But how do you think that is going to be received and accepted widely by the masses?
It depends on what exactly adoption-wise you mean. Do you mean as far as actual delivery of content? Or do you mean in ticketing? Or do you mean...
In people jumping on it. Because technology is great, but it's great the moment that it has a wide distribution, right? There's a ton of great ideas that didn't take off, right? Sometimes it's the worst product to take it off. VHS, for example, you know, being a good example of it.
So this is what's so awesome, right? Is that fans of music have not had to pay for content in so long. And I've been finding through the projects that, you know, we've been involved in, that fans want to pay for content again. They don't want to get ripped off and forced to buy it. But if it's available to them and they're a real fan, they want to be part of something. And with provable scarcity on a blockchain where I can prove this is only 4,000 of this, you know, XXX Tentacion NFT, or there's only so many of this, it becomes a real collectible. Whereas the Bob Marley poster on my wall from 1974, no one knows how many of those there are. Whereas the thing that I'm collecting today, there is. So it has real collectability and real provable scarcity. So the other thing is, if you look at customer experience, particularly around music, it's been pretty shitty. Although, at the end of the day, Spotify and Apple have done a great job giving us tons of music at our fingertips. But in the live event spectrum, it's been pretty bad, where the companies have not cared about any type of innovation. They've not invested in it. And they've allowed for third parties to mess with their own customers. So the artists don't like it, but they, you know, often don't have a voice, and they are steered by money. And who could blame them? And at the end of the day, there's always a move towards what's better technology-wise, because the fans are going to demand it. And what's amazing now is that at this time in history, music fans are more passionate than ever. They've been sidelined in the live space for over a year now. They don't want to be out, you know, and, you know, they want to go see live shows, but I don't think people are going to go for bad actor companies anymore. I don't think they're going to support and really get behind companies that are not looking out for their own customers and basically trying to not do right by the people who are paying them anymore. And I feel like there's a movement in society now where people have a voice and people are heard. And our biggest job, how we look at it, and I don't want to talk about my own company, I want to talk about the industry, but I think it's like, you know, it's important to understand this, and this is how I think socially responsible companies should act, is as a socially responsible company, our job is to get out of the way, to connect the artists and the fans, and then to just get out of the way and let them have their own relationship. And, you know, we're not there to be an intermediary. We're there to just be a connector. So that's the beauty of this tech. And that's why I think it's going to be so powerful as it adapts, not only to music, but to real estate brokerage and insurance and real estate ownership and all types of other sectors that have these rampant middlemen who have eaten crumbs that have, you know, hurt customers, not help them. Needed to be what they call trusted middlemen, but now we don't need trusted middlemen anymore because we have blockchain. So it's an interesting time, and I feel like consumers are going to move quickly towards this tech. And the last thing I'll tell you about this is that today, where we sit in 2021, people spend on average 6 hours a day on their device. So nobody is tech deficient. Everyone knows how to use tech extremely well, and moving tech forward is exciting to people. People are excited by trying blockchain and buying an NFT and doing something they haven't done before on their phone versus the same old thing they do every day. So it's a cool time. And I think the adoption is happening quickly for that reason.
It is definitely a cool time. And I often like the idea to look back in the past and dating myself and being the, you know, the kid that spent time in the record store picking up vinyl and be excited if there is the lyrics on it. And I know you're doing me as well. People can't see it, but we have a big smile on our face right now for those that cannot see us. And I think that you just can't separate anymore. And this is the core of my conversation oftentimes, the reality of the real world from the digital world, because we're both living that, right? It's part of our experience. And now I need to get as excited as holding like an old Depeche Mode album, which was the first concert I have ever seen back in the days, and be excited to get some digital download. Nice. Digital download that has an exclusivity for me. And now I'm looking at really cool vinyls here. Okay, thanks for showing off. There you go. I have some right here, but this is not a visual. Maybe we need to do a video one day, show and tell about this. You know, I'm curious about this. How is the artist reacting to this? Because music, I feel like the music industry, when Steve Jobs was trying to sell the iTunes concept, they had a lot of resistance. Napster was killed, maybe for the right reason. I'm not, you know, it was really, nobody was making money there. And so the record labels have always been very resistant because they didn't want to give away their money. But on the other hand, I feel like the artist, they've always been upfront to innovation. And you can feel the pulse of the artists right now. How is their reaction? Are they excited about this?
I mean, excitement is an understatement. The artists are overwhelmingly thrilled. I have spoken to a potpourri of you name it, we have been speaking to, and they all have amazing ideas. And when you take the most creative people living today and allow them to work with this technology, and they work with my team, and they get an understanding of how powerful this is, the results that are incredible, unbelievable. So the artists are well aware of it, and the artists are very, very aware that they don't need third parties anymore. The question is like, if you look at anything in history, and this relates to media or music or really any industry, when you have something that comes disruptive, immediately you have everyone who turns against it. It's just human nature, you know, where everyone will say, no, that's bad, it's bad, it's bad, it's bad, it's bad. And then eventually, you know how the story goes, it then transitions to, oh, yeah, that's actually okay, that's cool. And then the third step is then becoming, oh, yeah, of course, I've always loved that. I've always been a fan of that. And that's the transition of life. It just doesn't matter what it might be. And we're in the early stages of this. And, you know, it's a precarious time as the music industry in particular, you know, lost touring over the last year, which meant, you know, the loss of a tremendous amount of revenue. You know, in the live industry, you know, Live Nation, Ticketmaster has been deficient in technology, you know, for all through history. And, you know, we worked with them on the on this product and plan on using it with them, you know, more going forward. So it's going to, you know, some of it, because they control so much of the market, might lie in their hands as to what the adoption is. But I will tell you this, is that we've been having endless inbound of artists that want to tour on our NFT ticketing platform, and artists that want to put out NFTs. I've been basically having most of them put the brakes on things, telling them chill out. Don't try to run after it. Let's take three steps back and plan this properly. And this is a creative outlet. This is an amazing tech that's going to allow you to put out something incredible for your fans. Let's not just rush and put out, like, you know, your first hit lyrics. Like, no, that's not the approach here. So, like, that's how we've been going about it. But the artists are overwhelmingly positive and thrilled about this.
Cool. And as we wrap up, there's a question that has been going in my mind, and being myself a big fan of music in general, live music, I've been lucky enough in my life to see a lot of really cool gigs, and I sure miss that. I'm wondering if you put your thin foil hat and look into the future, do you see live music be always a driver for the artist? And I'm looking at dystopia. For me, dystopia will be no more live music. I'll hate that. But I don't know. I mean, do you think there'll be like virtual experience? Have you looked into that, putting a goggle and being in a concert? How do you feel about it?
So the way that I feel about it is that they both will exist. You can't ever replicate the feeling of live music, but there's a younger generation now that doesn't really care about that as much. And in my opinion, VR and virtual music events will be much larger revenue than physical events at some point soon. I think the way that they're going about it now in the early stages is 1.0, the way that they, like, you know, take a camera and film like you on a stage. And like, I just think like that's kind of boring to the fan. And where you really need to look is to companies like, you know, like Fortnite, like their Travis Scott, you know, concert. And like, that's the future. And VR, unfortunately, is very expensive to produce. So there hasn't been tremendous concert footage. But like, if you could sit on your couch, even with friends, and put on these goggles, or, you know, as like, you know, Apple Glass comes out and these things become smaller and more, you know, manageable, that experience, frankly, is much better than like being out and having to take taxis and pay for babysitters and, like, you know, go, like, sit in like a plastic seat. And like, you can't replicate it for some acts or certain live acts, the Fishes, the U2s, but there's a lot of artists, like new artists like Travis's, that could do a full like interactive tour. And like, frankly, that I think is going to be more and more relevant because of the younger generation.
Awesome. You gave me some hope here. Josh, I really, really enjoy this conversation. I hope we're going to have some more. And I don't know, maybe in the future, if we can get together again, I'd love to hear some artist's perspective on it, if it ever happened, you know, just directly from their mouth and how they see things going. I'm sure that sitting down with them and talking with creative minds that you just said, they have an entire new pictures of the future. So I love the idea that they're empowered again.
They're super empowered and they're all feeling it, which is amazing. Like, the biggest artists are all coming to us now and they're feeling more empowered than ever, basically realizing that, like, wow, I cannot believe that there's like a key over there for my handcuffs.
Love it. Couldn't finish it better than this. Thank you, Josh. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Listen to the music. You got to do that. Thank you very much.
RSA Security offers business-driven security solutions that provide organizations with a unified approach to managing digital risk that hinges on integrated visibility, automated insights, and coordinated actions. Learn more at rsa.com. Black Cloak provides concierge cybersecurity protection to corporate executives and high net worth individuals to protect against hacking, reputational loss, financial loss, and the impacts of a corporate data breach. Learn more at blackcloak.io.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you learned something new and this podcast made you think, then share ITSPmagazine.com with your friends, family, and colleagues. If you represent a company and wish to associate your brand with our conversations, sponsor one or more of our podcast channels. We hope you will come back for more stories and follow us on our journey. You can always find us at the intersection of technology, cybersecurity, and society.